I was anxious to see what he was going to do, because I know what I did when I had a pickup out. My dad didn't know where I was. But I'll tell you, he was safe. He stopped and was courteous and that other driver. I even watched him when he got on the road. I thought, surely he'll get on it and really get some rubber down here, but he didn't do it. Did a good job, Dalton. All right. And if you'd hadn't him, I wouldn't have told anyway. All right. This is the work of God. John chapter 6. Tonight I'll be talking. We've been talking the last two Sunday nights about Christ is coming again. We'll be talking about it. We're seeing all the signs that he said would happen. There's nothing holding up the second coming of Christ. He's ready to come. And I'm looking forward to that. Heaven's looking better all the time. Amen? Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent." That's the hardest work you'll ever have to do. We love to put before other people and before God and before the church some of the things that we've done and hear the applause to our ear about things that we've done. But God says that's not work for God. The work is when we believe in things that have not yet happened, can happen, and we live as though they are going to happen or already happened. That is the work of God. And that's the real testimony of a child of God. It's easier to do work around the church, to put some extra money in the offering plate, than it is to really believe that God can do his great work. As a matter of fact, he said in John chapter 30 and verse 31, when John was getting near the end of that gospel, he said, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's what we're all about. Believing that God, first of all, can save us, and then second of all, that he can save other folks as well, with or without us. He uses our help. But he doesn't need our work. Notice he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as is in truth the word of God, which effectually worked also in you that believe." That is our work. Believing, as I said earlier, that God can save you without a single bit of your goodness is hard to believe. I must have to do something. I must have to be at church. I must have to give. I must have to pray. We absolutely have nothing in it except our faith, and we'll see that in a moment. But what's harder to believe than that God could save us without any amount of our work is to believe that God can save others that you may know without any bit of their work or your work. We have difficulty in believing that. He got saved. That person is saved. How about that, Chris? We know that God can save and save without us. And he does his work. And he wants us to believe that. And harder still to believe is that God can keep you saved without your goodness as well as others. That's a marvelous thing too. When I go to bed tonight, if this is the night, Lord, when I get up in the morning, if this is the morning, I am ready. You've taken care of it. And the Bible says that in Jude. And he says in verse 23 and 24, "And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." Think about that statement. Every one of us in this room are not faultless. None of us. We've all have a fault somewhere. We may think we don't, but just thinking we don't means we have a fault. Because that's not believing what God said. Because God said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But he's able to present us faultless before his presence with his glory, with exceedingly joy. I like that last part. When God forgives us and saves us, the Bible says he enjoys doing that. He enjoys forgiving us of our sins. It gives him great joy. The Bible says for the joy of the cross that was set before him. He didn't enjoy the pain he suffered, but he enjoyed the gift of salvation he was going to give us. Amen? He enjoys doing that. You know, we sometimes do things for the church or for people, and we really hate doing it. We really do. Down inside, we don't want to do it. We try to pretend and look real religiously, and we get one of those what I call Bob Jones smile. You ever went to Bob Jones? They know how that... God, you're going to look happy whether you're happy or not. Bible says that if you're saved and you know it, you need to be happy. Somebody said some folks might be happy, but they haven't told their face yet because you can't tell it by looking at their face. First of all, look at the great work of salvation depends on who you believe, not what you believe. What you believe is what some we can do, but it's on who you believe. It's totally on Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ. That's what gets us saved. And our part is the believing or the faith, as we'll see in a moment. But in verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he stopped. He didn't say anything else. He didn't add anything to it. He didn't say you have to do 10 hallelujahs and 3 amens. He said you didn't have to do any of that. He said you didn't have to look rosy-dosy. He said you didn't have to wear all the right things that people think you're... When God saves you, He saves you, and God has saved you for all eternity, and it's settled, it's done, written down in heaven, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, glory to God. Amen? We need to get that settled down. We could preach it, but we act sometimes like we don't believe it. And believing that God does that, as I said earlier already, is the hardest work you'll ever do, is to believe that God does what He says He'll do. We sometimes, it's okay for us, but we just wonder about somebody else. Did he or she really get saved? I didn't see what they did. They got saved the moment that they believed if they got saved on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by our ideas or somebody else's or the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Catholic church or any other church. They were saved because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and saved for all eternity. Amen? Sometimes when we're on the radio, I get really excited over there when I'm talking and I get the beating on the table. And maybe you hear it come through the mic and Ryan says, "Stop beating on the table. It's going through my mic." I just got to pound when I preach. You got to pound it in some heads. We have to use that in class, right, Chris? We had to pound it in the heads. Got to get this down. They used to ask me, they'd say, I'd write something on the board. I'd say it's in page such, such in the book. And then I'd say it. And then somebody would raise their hand and say, "Pastor Hodge, is that going to be on a test?" I said, "It's a pretty good idea to be on a test. If I write it down, if it's in the book, and I repeat it to you, I imagine it'll be on a test somewhere." Amen? If God would test you, would you be able to answer that? Yes, I'm saved. No, I'm going to. He said in verse 10, "For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation." All we do is confess what God did. We just say, "He did it. He did it." Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Go and tell what great things God hath done." That's all we're supposed to do. Just tell what great thing. The greatest thing that we'll ever do is not preach a four-point sermon at somebody, but we'll simply tell them what great things God did for us. Let me tell you, I once was lost and on my road to hell. And one day somebody was talking to me just like I'm talking to you. And they told me that God could come into my heart and give me peace and save me. And I accepted Him and I believe Him. Now I'm saved. And they say, "Yeah, but you don't know what kind of person I am." I said, "Never found that in the Bible. God could save all these people, but some people are a certain kind of people and we have to have extra stuff for them." God didn't say that, did He? We all come the same way through Calvary's blood. Calvary's blood. We're all saved without the work of man's hands by the blessed work of Calvary and God Almighty. Hallelujah. Every sinner. I don't care if you're a good sinner or bad sinner. Maybe you only told one little white lie. But I don't think there's anybody really like that, do you? You think there's only few people just told little white lies? What is a little white lie anyway? How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Hey, man, good class this morning. I'm going to answer those questions. And any other, how many sins do you have to sin to be a sinner? But actually, you didn't have to sin at all to be a sinner. You was already a sinner. That's why you sinned. The Bible said we were born sinners because we were born of our parents. They were sinners. That's all they can make. They show me the cute little babies and I say, "Cute little sinner, isn't he?" Just a lovable sinner. And if you think he's not a sinner, just wait until he don't get his diaper changed when he wants to, and he don't get his bottle when he wants to, and he'll show you how big a sinner he really is, right? Or she. Amen? 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 We're all sinners. That's all we can do. And you know, some of us never get over that baby way. I want what I want, when I want it, and I want it now. And I like what I like, and I don't like it any other way. I like it this way. I like it that way. It's either too cold or too hot, right? My mama used to say that poem to me. "As a rule, man's a fool. What he wants, he hasn't got. When it's cold, he wants it hot. As a rule, a man's a fool." True. Very true. But the part that we give is our faith in God's grace. That's what grace means, unmerited favor. God gave us something we didn't deserve, and we never can deserve it. That's why it's a gift of God. But it's our faith in believing, and exercising that faith in God's work is the hard work. Believing that God can move the mountains in our life and move the mountains in somebody's else. That He can take the dirtiest drug addicted person in the world and drain their soul of the sin and wash them and put a robe of garment white on them and make their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and save them fit for heaven. That's what we've been. Oliver Green used to say when he was preaching, three big surprises when we get to heaven. If you're saved, you're going, right? When we get to heaven, the biggest surprise we'll have is we got there. We'll bow on our knees and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God is holy." Oh, wonderful. We won't be looking around. But if we have to look around for all the people we thought would be there, they won't be there. That'll be the second surprise we have. That's thought-provoking, isn't it? Look around heaven. Then the third is when we look around and see all the people there, we wonder how they got there. By God's marvelous grace. I was once a sinner, but I came. That's how we get saved. Our faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's why we get in church as often as we can, get in this book as often as we can, because this book builds your faith. The doubters and the pouters don't get in the book. The whiners and complainers don't get in the book. That's why they're whiners and complainers. You start reading this book and getting around people that read this book and teach this book and believe this book, and you'll start being a joyous Christian. We get whining and complaining. "I don't think, can we do that? I don't think we can do this. I don't know. I never heard of that being done before." There's a lot of things God wants to do in our life if we have the faith to believe in His marvelous grace. But we first have to believe that He can save us and that He saves others around us. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God." Some of us think we come pretty high and mighty. Some of us think we come with a lot of attributes and characteristics, and we never did this, we didn't smoke, we didn't chew, and we didn't go with the girls that do, and we're just almost not perfect. All God had to do was just dust us off a little bit. That's what some of us think, but that is not true. We all came needing the same blood, the same salvation, and had to have the same faith that God would do that. And we couldn't add one single thing to it. We couldn't put our hands on the scales and say, "Wait a minute, I haven't put my works on there yet. Let me see if I won't push the scales down and level it up a little bit." No scales. Jesus took the scales and threw them in hell and took your salvation and pinned it on that cross and gave your name to God and made you a child of God. Oh, marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 goes on to say there in Ephesians chapter 2, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Here we are. At least I didn't do what she did. At least I didn't do what he did. What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell God? I'm better than they are? I had a better chance of being saved than they did? No, you don't get saved by works, and you don't get closer to God by works. Bible says in Isaiah, all of your works, all of your good works, not your bad works, all of your good works are as filthy rags and run unrighteous. Wow. God's trying to put the emphasis on and the spotlight on God and Christ's work and not on you, and you to believe it. That's what God wants you to do. And God saved you by His grace, and God keeps you by His grace. You walk in the narrow path because you're saved by that grace. We see also about this work of God, that believing that God can do His marvelous work in and through you once you're saved. God saved you for a purpose, not for you to do good works, but that you would be a co-laborer with Him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are His workmanship." When somebody makes something, they make it for a purpose. And God made you a child of God, and He made you for a purpose to bring glory. He says, "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we would do good works, that God before ordained that we should walk in them." And God says they would see that work and not glorify us. When you do work and people are telling you how good your work is, they didn't see the work of God. They should see the work of God. Now there's a Christian. That's a Christian. Not, "Oh, what a great guy is he. What a wonderful singer is he. What a wonderful preacher is he. What a great soloist is she." No, no, no. They don't say that. It's not of God if it's not that. Glory to God. Heaven came down. God showed up. The Spirit worked in the lives because it was the work of God in the lives of His people. We're His workmanship. And that's why we sing, He's still working on me, because none of us have got there. Without God, we don't do it right. And with God, He can take the vilest sinner and make him clean and wash him in the blood and bring out His excellent work that people may give God the glory. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Believing that God can do His miraculous work. We find then, number four, believing and depending on the work of God in our lives gives us assurance of our salvation. So many people talk about salvation, but they're not sure. For example, you say to people, are you saved? I hope so. That don't get it, honey. That does not get it. I hope so don't make it. Believing in the grace of God got it. And if you believe that God saved you, you believe He's going to take you all the way. He didn't say, I'm going to save you and get you halfway to heaven and drop you. No, He said, I'm going to take you to heaven with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go away and prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That's what He said. I'm trusting in that, aren't you? I'm believing in that in my Father's house are many mansions, and one of them has my name on it. And if you don't like it, mine might be next door to you. Get used to it. I'm going to be there. Get used to it. I said that to a lady, and she said, well, you'll be different then. I said, so will you. Amen. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Praise God, it's different. It's also different now. I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be. And glory to God, I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Saved and on my way to heaven. Finally, in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. God knows His children. He says, our spirit bears witness. Notice verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can now call Him our Father. Some people said we're all the children of God. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said to that crowd of hypocrites, Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. John chapter 8. The devil had a hold of all of us until we got saved. We were born in the flesh that had sinned in Adam and Eve, and we belonged to Satan and his work we'll do. But when we got saved, and that's what he's mad about. He's mad if God saved you and took you out of his clutches and his claws and got you on the road to heaven, and he wants to do everything he can to make it miserable for you. I kind of like a good fight with the devil once in a while, don't you? I like to have my God just punch him around. I like to have my God just have victory over him. I never wanted to play football and sit on a bench and guard a water bucket. Did you? I mean, some people are like that. You know, we won and they lost. It's never we lost, you know. I wanted to get in the game. Get in there. Get in there. Give him a poke. Give him a punch. Step on it. Lady said to me, he said, the devil don't bother me. I said, let me tell you something. You kick him and you step on his tail and you punch him and see if he don't bother you. Of course he don't bother you. You're not no problem to him. I want to be a problem to him. I want to help others. He said in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do I know I'm saved? He said, the first witness I have is the Spirit of God. When I said, yes, Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, save me, He came in and His Spirit doth dwell with me. And when I do something wrong, He tells me, that's wrong. That's wrong. When you got to guess if something's right or wrong, where's the Spirit of God? That witness is in your heart. This is right. That's wrong. God's Spirit, He says, I place within your heart, within you, to tell you you're going the right way, that you're going the wrong way, that you're saying, did you ever just give somebody a piece of your mind? Be careful. You only got much left. You keep giving away, you won't have much left. You ever just want to give somebody a piece and give it to them really good? I mean, you're just waiting for the day when you could just really tell some people off. I mean, come on now. We're in church. Let's be honest. I've been there. I just can't wait to tell some people, I mean, really how it is. You know what I mean? And a few times I've done it. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like that dragging, nagging, droopy feeling afterwards. My God, I really messed up. Oh, I don't feel good about this at all. And you got to go dragging back to that person and tell them you're sorry. You got to tell all the people that heard it you're sorry. And they say, yeah, you sure are sorry. You're a sorry Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. He don't let us go the places we're supposed to go, not supposed to go. Do the things or say the things. Let it roll. Let God have it. Then number five, believing that there is a heaven awaiting us gives us a peace and a joy. We have joy unspeakable because we know we're going to heaven. What about if you'd been in that one of those floods in Houston or those places down there? What would happen to you? Where would you be? Where would you go? Do you have that blessed assurance? No matter what comes, car wreck, plane crash, flood, whatever storm comes into my life, whatever way God takes. Oh, we'd all like to lay in a bed and a hospital and just go to sleep and go to heaven. But some of us will go on the battlefield. Some of us will go different ways. Do you have that blessed assurance that you can sing glory to God? Peace rolleth like a river in my soul. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then jump down to verse 27 in John chapter 14, and it says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I've done many a funeral in my time. I've seen people who had the peace of God when their loved one was lying there in a casket. And I've seen people at funerals that were passing around the pill boxes because they didn't have any peace. You need a pill? Yeah, I need something. Yeah, and then step out and get something else. Because they didn't have the peace of God. When you know that you're going to heaven and that person's in heaven, there's a peace that floods your soul. Oh yeah, the tears will flow. Oh yes, the heart will break. But the peace of God, the wonderful peace of God that He doesn't give like the world gives. Stand up and read Psalm 23 and put somebody in heaven that lived a crooked life all their life, never got saved. You can't do that. As a tree falleth, so it will be lying. Jesus, Jesus. And number six, believing there's a hell gives us a warning and conviction to seek the lost to be saved. There isn't anybody in this world, if we're really saved, that we'd want to go to hell. There isn't anybody. And you know, even God believes that. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come. God wants every single person to come and be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants them all to come. He wants all the bad guys, the reprobate, the filth, the dirt, the drugs, the drink, the sexual deviance, all of them, He wants them to come unto Him. And by the way, those people that are doing things like that, they don't have the peace of God. That's what their problem is. Why would you want to take your sexuality and change it to someone else? When God made you the way He made you, God made you to be that way and be content with that way. And you're trying to mess up God's creation by doing something stupid. And it just gives me the shudders to think about people taking knives and cutting themselves or having someone else cutting themselves and making them some other kind of something. I mean, what in the world would make somebody do that? I even get kind of pain feeling when I see these earrings or whatever they are. I mean, in their face, in their cheekbones, in their nose, and in their chin, and I mean, a lot of other places. Isn't it crazy? Why do you want to puncture yourself? I mean, why would you want to do such idiotic stuff? Why do people do that? Because they don't have the peace of God. And they're doing it because somebody else does it. And then put a tattoo. The love of my life is Bill on the back of their, well, sometimes down below you can see some other things they said too. But you know what I mean? Why would you do such dumb stuff? And then in 2 weeks they're over Bill. And they got to go in and have that scratched out and put in George or something else. Are we stupid? God made us in the image. God gave us a body. God says don't destroy the body. Don't mark the body. People say, where do you get that stuff? I don't know what kind of Bibles people are reading this day, but it's all in the Bible, the Word of God. He said not to do that. God says no, and God means no. God says yes, God means yes. God says no, I mean no. And then they used to have that sign, don't make me come down there. And I got news for you, He's coming down here. Matthew 10, 28, 19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I was looking at our board back there. We've up to two missionaries again. We've keep up in the money that we're sending. Why do we do that? Trying to get people to reach the lost and dying. And why do we read the reports on Wednesday night and see them about what they're doing? We want to reach the lost and dying with the gospel. Why do we run the vans? Why do people come in here eating their supper on the way while they're coming in here or waiting till after they're through, coming in here after work and getting in a van, driving, getting these kids in here? Because we're trying to reach the lost and dying world. Why do we have people practicing with the little kids after church to teach them the songs of Jesus so they'll go around singing them everywhere? Because we're trying to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. We're trying to bring people to Christ and have the little kids go home and tell Mom and Daddy, guess what I learned in Vacation Bible School? And here's the example, what I got to show you, the picture they gave me today in Sunday school. Why do we do that? Isn't it amazing? We think going to the schoolhouse 5 days a week and going to everything that goes on at the schoolhouse is important, but the church house, get just a little dab, just a tiny dab. Is it any wonder our kids are living like hell? Is it any wonder? We want to give them a little thimble drop of spirituality, but we want to give them tons of that stuff. And then they don't get enough of that on the way to school. They'll plug it in their ears. Boom, 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 boom. No wonder they act like monkeys. We teach them monkey music, put monkey suits on them. They dance around like monkeys. And then they don't have any trouble believing evolution. Yeah, I think we're going the other way. They're looking more like monkeys. They're going back the other way, don't you? And then there'll be a little frog on a tadpole, and then a frog jump from lily pad to lily pad. Bill Frog was sitting on a lily pad looking up in the sky. The lily pad broke, and the frog fell in, got water in his eyes. Bullfrog's always been a bullfrog, and that's all he ever be. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's people. Then we're supposed to teach them and teach them. And why do we have services like this and evangelistic services and special services? Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. God says He's with a church. That's why God shows up here, because He knows we're trying to do what He wants us to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to reach people and more people and more people and more people so we can get them to heaven for Christ. Not so we can boast and say, look what we've done, but we say, look what God is doing. He's showing up. He's doing great things He has done. Glory be to God. Aren't you glad that you can be a part of that crowd getting folks to heaven? Look at our conclusion with me. May I say it again? I want to drill that point home to you this morning. Our greatest work is believing in God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible. And our greatest defeat is unbelief. The Bible says in the Gospels, He could do no great work in that city because of their unbelief. Think of that. Not only is the work of God believing that God can do it, but the fight against God is when the people of God don't believe that God can do it. That's what God's Word says. You don't have to be a smoker, a drinker. All you gotta do is say, I don't think it's gonna work. That's all you gotta do. Just doubt the work of God. Just doubt. And then the next stage after doubt's about, and you know, we got a lot of people up the miff tree. They just get up the miff tree. They get miffed about something or set up in the miff tree. I ain't gonna do it. Listen, God is in it, I'm for it. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they cannot enter because of unbelief. Unbelief. People are not going to hell because they're worse sinners in the world, or drunkards and liars. They're going to hell because of unbelief. Unbelief. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it may that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. He says it over and over. He wants us to know. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Are you a believer this morning? I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He rose from the grave on the third day. I believe He came into this world, paid my salvation's price on that tree. I believe He did what nobody else could do for me. And I believe He's still working on me because He loves me. And He knows that I'm saved and secure, and He wants to use me for His glory. What about you? What about you? Every head bowed and every eye is closed. Would you stand to your feet for a moment? Piano will begin playing in just a moment. We're not going to keep you very long. But this is the great time of the church to do spiritual surgical operation. The Holy Spirit will now begin to operate. I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Between you and God, Do I know for sure a place and a time when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I'm saved and on my way to heaven? If you know that, you're fine. But if you don't, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you and say, Pastor Hodge, if I died before morning, if I died before I got home, if I died tomorrow, if I died between here and heaven and nothing else happened, I'm not sure I'd be there. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. If you'd raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you and say, I'm not 100% sure. God bless you, sir. One other hand. There's another hand somebody would raise and say, I want to know for sure. I want to know for sure that I'm saved and on my road to heaven. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd be in heaven. Well, then let me ask you this question. If you're sure you're on your road to heaven, would you mind just putting up your hand? Nobody's looking, but you just put it up and say, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know where God saved me. I know the place and the time. God bless you. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, I pray for those that raise their hand that are not sure about salvation, that they'd come and trust Christ this morning and be saved and have that blessed assurance of Jesus Christ in their soul. We thank you for the power of the blood. We thank you for the work, the finished work of Calvary. Nothing has to be added to it. He tells us in the Bible not to add to it or take anything away from it. We're so glad that Jesus has saved us and made us child of God. Lord, we'll give you praise while every head's bowed and every eye's closed as the piano begins to play. You need to come to this altar and pray for yourself, about yourself, or ask me a question about yourself. Or you need to come and pray for some family member, some child, some wayward child, some sister, brother, some family member. You want to come. You slip out and come. This is a time when you can come and pray for them. There's nothing in this world worth going to hell for, and people are going to hell over all kinds of crazy things. Some people are going to be mad because I talked about tattoos. Tattoos will not take you to hell, and you can't get them erased from your body. Normally, maybe you can do that, but God can take away the sin, and God can make you white as snow. You can't take away the bad testimony you've lived for a long time, but God can save you and give you a new life and a brand new testimony and a name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you want to come and make sure about all those things. And there's one thing for sure. There's none of us in this room, the saved, that is as close as we ought to be. Our hymn of invitation we'll sing in a moment is called Draw Me Nearer. I want to get closer to God for two reasons. I want to be more like Him. And secondly, I don't want to be away from Him because that's where the devil gets people when they get away from Jesus Christ. The devil goes about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion, devouring whom he may. I don't want to be in that crowd. I want to be in the crowd. I want to be like John. I want to lean upon his breast and upon his bosom. I want to be drawn nearer, nearer. Our hymn number is 458. Draw me nearer, nearer. about Jesus coming again tonight from the Bible. What the Bible says about Jesus coming again. Nothing else has to wait. Nothing else has to wait. Everything is ready. And John prayed in the last verse, the last book in the Bible, John Revelation, even come so, Lord Jesus. And the last promise was, behold, I come quickly. He's coming. He's coming. Could be. Brother Wood, would you have our prayer this morning, please?